do want to say we are excited about the work there in Puebla, and a lot of things are happening, and so we'd like to see the Lord move. We're excited. Amen. Luke chapter 14, I'm going to read verse 14:33 says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You know, I think that's very striking whenever he says that. He says, he cannot be my disciple. I think some people have the idea that Christ was kind of like a beggar. You know, thinking Christ was asking everybody, you know, come to me, give me whatever you've got. You know, like a beggar asking you for whatever you can spare. But Christ isn't a beggar. He's not asking us for what we can spare. He here doesn't say, you know, whatever you've got, I want. He says, Christ says he wants all. He says, if you don't do this certain thing, you cannot be his disciple. So I think, you know, Christ isn't just looking for what we can spare. He's got some real conditions for us to be called his disciples. I mean, there's a lot of people that say they're followers of Christ, right? A lot of people say they're disciples. You know, they follow Christ and they're Christians, and yet Christ doesn't make it that easy. He says, you know, I've got requirements. It's not just like saying, oh yeah, Christ, I'm yours. He says, there's certain things I want from you. And he mentions here, I want to mention three of his conditions for us to qualify as disciples. And if we're not willing to do these, then he says, you cannot be my disciple. And yesterday I was, we had the family reunion, and Michael and Marco were working in the kitchen. And I went in there and said, hey, you need any help? And Michael said, well, if you're offering help, you better be ready to do it, you know. You better be ready to do something. And sometimes I think, you know, maybe that's the way we are. We're offering out of courtesy, you know. We're this week, aren't we saying, God, let us know, what do you want us to do, right? We're saying, God, what do you want from us? Do you need something, God? But make sure it's not just courtesy. God's saying, hey, you want to help? You better be willing. You better be ready, because I got something for you to do. So don't just ask out of courtesy. If you're asking God to do something, if you're asking God what He wants from you, He's saying you better be ready. You better be willing, because I've got something for you. Okay? So I think that's what God here is saying. And here's some three conditions that we have to be willing to do. If not, we can't be His disciples. So the first one here we see is, we have to be willing to give. He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now I want to start by saying, making it clear that he's not telling us all to sell everything we have and to quit our jobs and to just live like poor people. He's not saying that, okay? Actually, he doesn't want you to quit your job. Christ says, and the Bible says, you have to provide for your own. And if you don't provide for your own, you're even worse than an infidel. You have to provide for your own. You have to work. You have to have a good job. And you have to be able to, you know, provide. He's not saying, let's all quit our jobs and live like poor people. He's saying, he wants to be the focus of you. He wants to have all your attention. You see, things can distract us from Christ. And things are dangerous. Money is dangerous because it takes the focus off of God and it puts our focus on things we can see. And so Christ says, listen, you want to be my follower, you want to be a true disciple of mine, then you have to put your focus on me. And you have to give up, and you have to give all this other stuff up. Things are a dangerous thing. And you know, society today wants your focus to be on things.
Everything in society is teaching you that you should be focused on things and get money and make money, and because they want you to have this desire. And so, I think when Christ says, beware of covetousness, it's so much more applied to us today because it's much more dangerous. He says, beware of covetousness because it's a dangerous thing. And life is not about this stuff. Life is not about things. Life is about God. And so we have to beware of covetousness. And Christ is saying, hey, you have to give all that you have to be my follower. Put your focus on me. And things are dangerous because they take that away from us. And we can get caught up in the cares of this world and not be fruitful because of things. You know, we were at a restaurant the other day. We were eating tortas with mom and dad. And the guys there were Christian. They were from Monterrey. They come up, but they were Christian. And they had a sign on their wall. And I liked it. It was interesting. It said, the best things in life are not things. And that's true, you know. I like that. The best things in life are not things. We just shouldn't put so much importance in things. Things aren't that important. And the thing is, we can get so caught up in them, where we're so distracted in things. And Christ is saying, hey, why is your focus on things? You should be focused on me. So things just shouldn't be that important. We have to be willing to give God whatever He asks. I want to read in 2 Corinthians because I think, you know, we need to see what people and what examples we have in the Bible. God isn't interested in your money. He's not really interested in your things and in your money. What He's interested is in your heart. He's interested in you. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Corinthians 8:12 says this. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. See, Christ, God isn't looking for what you have or what you don't have. God is looking for you. He wants there to be a willing mind, a willing heart. He wants you to be willing to give. And He says, forsake all things, all that He hath. You have to. If He does call you to give everything you have, I think you should be willing. I don't think He's calling you to give everything you have. But if He does, I think you should be willing. Right? That's what He's saying. He's saying, everything you have, you should be willing to give it for me. Willing to give whatever He asks. Willing to give. He says, whosoever of you forsake not all that He has. Everything. He wants you to be willing. He wants to know that what you have is His. He wants you to know that what you have is His. Because what you have is His. But He wants you to know that. Because we forget. And you know, this isn't a problem of the rich people. This is a problem, even a poor person can have a problem with this. Because it's not about what you have, it's what you think about what you have. And the more you have, it gets harder to not think about it. The more money you have, the more worried you are about losing it. So, Christ says, beware of covetousness. Beware, be careful of things, be careful of money, because it can drown you in this looking always at this. And Christ says, I want your full attention. I want your focus to be on me. If you want to be a true disciple of mine, you have to be willing to give up all this. Give it all for me. Give everything. Give all. Give your money. Give your time. Give your pleasures. Give your comfort. He wants you to give Him your full attention. So that's the first condition. He says, I want you to be willing to give. Give it all. Things just aren't that important. God is that important. So I want to see another condition. He says we have to be willing to give. Then in verse 27, we have to be willing to suffer. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's Luke 14 again, verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross. He's talking about you have to be willing to suffer for Christ. Right? Now, I want to repeat it again because you can get confused. He's not saying you have to be crucified or go get whipped, you know? Because some people actually think this. There are people in Mexico probably right now this morning walking on their knees to some image thinking they have to suffer for God, that's what He wants them. People whipping themselves thinking that's what God is saying. He wants them to suffer. And so they put themselves through suffering. You know, it's a sad thing that in Semana Santa, Easter week, in Mexico City, they do a play, okay, of Jesus Christ. And they actually nail a guy to a cross. And he's willing to suffer because he thinks that's what Christ wants. Wants him to suffer. He's not saying He wants you to put yourself through suffering. He's saying, when He calls you to suffer, He wants you to be willing to go through it. Willing to go through some suffering. I think Christians today might just have the wrong outlook on suffering. You know, we see suffering and we don't want to do that. We don't want to suffer for Christ. We don't want to suffer a little shame. But yet, you know, that's what Christ wants. Christ wants you to be willing to suffer a little for Him. I want to see another example in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. I mean, this is the attitude they had. You know, we're rejoicing because we had this opportunity to suffer shame for His name. But you know, I don't see that much today. You know, it's very rare that I've seen somebody praying in a restaurant before they eat. Very rare. And I think there's a lot of, you know, people that call themselves Christians, but I don't see a lot of people praying before they eat at a restaurant. Maybe it's because they just don't want to suffer that shame. And I'm sure you and I have felt that before too, right? We're with our coworkers, and it feels a little hard, you know, to say, oh, I'm going to pray right now for my meal. It's a little, they might laugh at you. They might think you're weird. But can't you suffer a little shame? It's interesting to me to think that I feel like I'm willing to die for Christ. And I'm sure some of us, you know, if we think, oh yeah, we're willing to do these great things. Christ wants us to die. I'm willing to do it. Christ wants me to... But yet we're not willing to do the little things. If you're not willing to do the little things, what makes you think you're willing to suffer for the big things? You know, Peter said, hey, Lord, I'm willing to die for you right now. I'm willing to die. But he wasn't willing to even say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. He denied Him 3 times. So maybe, you know, let's think about ourselves. Are you willing to suffer for Christ? You say you're willing to do Whatever Christ wants from you, you're willing to suffer. You're willing to even die for Christ. But you can't even suffer the little shames in life. You can't suffer a little, you know, standing up and preaching in front of people is a little hard. You can't suffer a little bit of that. You know? Christ maybe is calling you to preach and you're scared. Well, hey, let's suffer a little for Christ. He wants you to be willing. Maybe you're a preacher and you know, sometimes we have excuses. Oh, I don't go preaching because my head hurts. But you know, I mean, I know your head hurts and I know we get sick, but can't we suffer a little for Christ? I don't know. I think that he wants us to be willing to suffer. And sometimes He might test us. Let's see, are you willing to suffer? He wants us to be willing to suffer. If you can't suffer the little things, what makes us think for the big things? And He might call you to suffer some things. Matthew 13:21 says that they had no root in them. And that because of persecution and tribulation, they were offended. And that's why they didn't bear fruit. That's why they weren't good seeds. Because they were offended when persecution came, when suffering, when, you know, they were saying, yes, I'll follow Christ. Followers of Christ isn't only when times are good. While things are good, we're followers of Christ. And when things turn ugly and we have to suffer a little, we lean back a little. You know, let's hide behind somebody else. Can't we be willing to suffer a little? And I mean, it's amazing, you know. Christ says He wants to tell Paul what great things he must suffer for His name's sake, you know. And Paul, he did it. And he was rejoicing in it. He was proud to be considered one who could take this. He thought it was a great thing to be part of the sufferings of Christ. I think we need to maybe change our attitude. Be looking forward to a little suffering, you know. Oh boy, it's hard to pray in front of your coworkers. Oh, I'm going to do it. Because I'm willing to suffer. Even little shames, I'm willing to do it. Show Him. You're willing to suffer a little for Christ. You know, we're not even willing to suffer each other. Can't you suffer each other? I mean, this is the problem the Corinthians had. They were fighting amongst each other. And Paul says, you can't just suffer a little offense. Somebody does you wrong, just suffer it. Why do you have to fight back? I know, you know, brothers, I like y'all, but sometimes, you know, y'all might just get on my nerves or something. But can't we suffer each other a little for Christ's sake? I wonder how much of a hindrance that is to the gospel. When Christians are fighting and they can't even suffer each other, how much of a hindrance is that? He's just asking, hey, you want to be my disciple? Are you willing to suffer? You're saying, hey, Lord, I'm ready. What do you want from me? And He says, hey, suffer. Ooh, well, I don't know about that. You know? Christ says, hey, I want something from you. I want you to give. You know, ooh, well. You know, I was saying, Lord, if you wanted me to do this, I was willing. Well, why are you asking me for this other thing? Christ wants a willing mind. And He wants you to be willing to give and willing to suffer if He calls. Are you ready to ask what Christ wants from you? You have to be willing if you're going to ask Him. If this week we're going to ask Him, Lord, what do You want from us? We better be ready and willing for His answer. Ready to work. Okay? And I want to repeat verse 33 again. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. He wants you to be willing to give. He wants you to be willing to suffer. But He also wants you to be willing to leave. He says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So He says, forsake all that he hath. And he's not just talking about your money and your things. He's also talking about your family and your loved ones. So jump back to verse 26. He says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Christ, again, he's not preaching hate. He said you shouldn't even hate your enemy. Okay, he's saying what he wants is that you love him even above that which you love your father and your mother. He wants you to love him more than you love them. Doesn't he say that in another gospel? He says, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. He wants you to love him so much so that you're willing to leave all of them for him. You know, like when you get married, you know, you're willing to leave father and mother and cling to your wife and be with her, aren't you? Because you love her. Forget them. I love her. See y'all. You know? Well, that's what Christ wants. Christ says, hey, you want me? Well, leave your father and mother. You have to be willing to leave them. Willing to leave them. Yeah. You know, some people do have to actually choose between family or Christ. And it happens a lot in Mexico. We see that. Because if you accept Christ in some Mexican families, it's like you're betraying them. And they'll say, how can you do this, son? Your grandpa, you know, gave you this. And they feel betrayed. But they have to choose Christ over their family. It's like, you know, it's been mentioned they're betraying their own country. Like they spit on their flag. And Christ says, hey, I know, but I want you to be willing. Willing to even leave father and mother. Willing to leave brethren for me. And you know, that's what Christ does call some people to do. Missionaries, right? We love to be here. We love you, Brother Brian. I love being with you. I love you. We love you. But Christ has said, hey, I want you to go. And so, sorry, I'm going. And he might not be calling everybody to go, but if he's calling you, he wants you to be willing to leave. Leave them. He wants to be loved more than you love them. Love him above all and be willing to leave and follow him when he calls you to follow. Let's look at what Mark 1:20 says. And it's a great example of a true disciple. Mark chapter 1, verse 20 says, "And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." I mean, you see what Christ is talking about when he says, you know, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that when I say, hey, come on, follow me, they leave their father, leave their ship, leave their hired servants, and follow Christ. That's what he's looking for. A ready and willing mind. Lord, you call me to go, I'm ready to go. I'll leave my father. Bye-bye. I'll leave my business. Bye-bye. I'll leave my hired servants. You know, I got people working for me. See y'all later. I'm following Christ. Wow. Well, that's what Christ wants. He wants you to be willing to leave father and mother and brethren. He wants you to be willing to leave. But you know, amazingly, he says, yea, and his own life also. He wants you to be willing to leave not only family and friends, he wants you to be able to leave your own will aside. You got goals, don't you? You got plans? You got things you want to do with your life? And Christ says, hey, I want you to be willing to leave all that aside. Leave your own will aside. Leave your own self.
That's what He wants. I know we have goals. I know we have things we want. But He wants us to leave our own goals and our own will aside. And we could say, you know, that's just too much. I mean, come on. Is Christ asking too much here? He's asking you to give everything you've got. He's asking you to suffer whatever, even death. He's asking you to suffer and do whatever He asks you. He's asking you to leave even your own will. Is He asking too much?
No.
I don't think so. You know, because Christ, He leads by example. Wasn't He willing to leave heaven and to become a servant, a man? He was willing to do that. He was willing to suffer. He suffered. He was willing to give His own life. Die. He was obedient to death. Death of a cross. He was willing. He was willing to do that from you. So when He asks, hey, I want you to be ready and willing. I want you to go. Are you ready to leave? I don't think He's asking too much.
No.
He's asking you to be willing just like He was.
Amen.
He was willing to leave His own will aside. He was praying, He said, oh, I wish there was another way. But He says, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
He had one will. He had one desire. He was scared. But He said, I want to do Your will. And so today He's saying, hey, I want you to be willing to do My will.
Amen.
We're asking Him today, Lord, we want to do something for You. We want You to use us. We want to be help. And He's saying, okay, You're asking me, are You ready? Are You willing? Is this sincere? Don't just offer out of courtesy. He wants a willing heart. And we better be ready for whatever He's going to give us. Whatever He's going to tell us to do. He wants you to be ready and willing to do it. Willing to suffer if He calls. And I don't know what He's going to call you to do. I don't know if He's going to tell you to give. I don't know if He's going to tell you to suffer. I don't know if He's going to call you to go somewhere else. I know one thing. He is going to tell us what to do. He is going to call. He is going to touch. He is going to move this week. And I know He wants us to be willing.
Amen.
For whatever He calls us to do.
Amen.
So are you ready? He's going to be calling.
Amen. Amen.